Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied up there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches as they cut into the fields. Those who went ahead and followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since he was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Why not stretch a hand out to Chris as we pray for him? Father, we bless you and we thank you for Chris and for the message that you've given him to share with us this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray you'd come and fill him to overflowing, that he might have everything that he needs to do the work that you've given him to do this morning. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and touch our hearts and open our ears, that we might hear your voice clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as already has been said, it's Holy Week, and back in the day when I were young and you were even younger, we'd have posters in our windows which would have said, "This is Holy Week," and you'd see them dotted around East Bowling and around Bradford, that just to remind people this was the big build-up to, in actual fact, a very difficult week for Jesus. And then Good Friday, and everybody goes Good Friday, and we know it's all about the cross and things like that. But then eventually the great celebration next Sunday, which is Christ is risen. But today we're thinking about this triumphal entry, and it's in all four Gospels, so it's really important. It's in Matthew 21, Mark 11, which we've just had read, Luke 19 and John 12, and it tells the basic story, which I think most of us would know, but basically it is that Jesus is deciding and is going towards Jerusalem, and as he goes towards Jerusalem, the people that have been around him want to make him king. And as we've seen reenacted, and our palm branches, as they come, they start to wave their palm branches and shout in Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I want to just to give us a bit of background about Palm Sunday. First of all, we've got this word, Hosanna, a Hebrew expression meaning save, which became an exclamation of praise. So they'll be shouting, "Lord, save us! Lord, save us!" And they'll be shouting that on the top of their heads whilst waving and laying down their cloaks. And this goes right back to the next slide, which is Psalm 118 and verse 25-26. It says, "Lord, save. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Bless us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." And so we see it going right back to the into the Psalms. And then this whole event was prophesied in Zechariah, which is the next slide, Zechariah 9:9. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly riding on a donkey," on the colt, the foal of a donkey. And so we see that many, many years, as the next slide will say, 550 years before the first Palm Sunday, this was prophesied. This was going to happen. This is what happened. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been caught out by life? Have you ever been caught out by life? In my life, things caught us out. Margaret and I were due to have our first baby born to us on the 5th of November. And it never quite happened. We waited, we woke up, nothing. We had to wait till the 14th of November before Elizabeth was born. And then secondly, our son, now I'm not saying anything else, but our son was born in the Falklands War. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Things didn't quite happen. And then we decided we'd go on this amazing holiday, and we were in Tampa Bay when that famous scene on the TV, and was it Bush, when this guy came up to him, whispered in his ear that 9/11 was happening. Our holiday didn't quite end the way we thought. We ended up in some hotel somewhere, we were stranded, we had to give our car back, we were stuck out there in Tampa Bay, and just to make it just a bit worse, there was a hurricane that came across and we weren't allowed out of the hotel. So life sometimes catches you out, doesn't it? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but you wish you'd never got up, do you? You just think, I should have just stayed in bed, life would have been a lot simpler. But no. I'm sure for Jesus on that Palm Sunday, he knew what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on. And he made that decision to turn and to face Jerusalem and to go towards Jerusalem. But I want to ask the question, what about the crowd? What about the religious people, the Pharisees of their day? What about the disciples? Were they caught out? Well, let's have a little look. So I don't think the crowds saw where things were going and how things were going to work out that day. Because this traditional greeting was going on, they were shouting Hosanna, they were caught up with a moment, enjoying it, and why not? This amazing king, so they thought, was coming and was going to, you know, it was going to be great. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Save us now, they cried. And they were thinking, let's get rid of these Romans. These Romans have been on our backs. Let's get rid of him. And here he is, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to resolve, get this sorted out. The day is coming when they'll see defeat. Now this same crowd that was with Jesus on that day, they'd seen Jesus. Can you imagine seeing this? They'd seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Could you imagine? Do you know what I mean? Jesus stood outside the tomb and a group of people around, and he says, Lazarus, come on out. And everybody's going, he's smelly, leave him where he is, leave him alone. But yet, Jesus calls him out and raises him from the dead. And think, how amazing is that? And even if you weren't there, the ripple of that would have gone out and you'd have heard about it, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Next time, you know, Tim and I go to the cemetery. Tim, you know what I mean? We'll let Tim be our leader, eh? Let's see how he gets on. But it must have rippled around. And then these same people had also seen 5,000 people plus being fed. And they thought, this is the man. They were asking the question, who is this Jesus that even the dead are raised? Unfortunately, the crowd seemed to see him as a bit of a meal ticket, a bit of an answer to all their immediate problems. They took the palm branches, as we know, and were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Sadly, though, as we know, shortly, a time later, they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. You see, when Jesus didn't turn out as they thought and didn't really deal with the Romans, their self-centeredness was quite evident. And the challenge, I guess, for us this morning and for me this morning is when things don't turn out, what is our response? How quickly do we change? And I'm sad to say that sometimes with me, you know that as a scripture that says that sometimes we honour God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. And I find sometimes, to my shame, that I can stand here waving my palm branches on a Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon and Monday morning, sometimes it's a different picture. So the disciples didn't quite get it right, did they? They got caught out. They didn't fully understand. But then, what about the religious people, the Pharisees of the day? These people were the top religious people of their day. They knew the Old Testament, and many of them would have known it, you know, far better than probably any of us here know our Bible. They really did know it. They memorized great chunks of it. They knew all about it, and yet they missed that Zechariah verse in the Old Testament. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Your king comes righteous and victorious, riding on donkeys. Somehow they missed it. They missed that prophecy. Because the Pharisees, of course, they wanted to be and thought they were in control. So when Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look, the whole world is going after him." The Pharisees had become unteachable. And the challenge for us this morning is, are we teachable? Am I teachable? Am I just sort of like pushing off new ways of thinking? And I don't mean, you know, weird and wonderful, but just that sometimes God wants to do a new thing among us and in my life and do new things. And yet, these religious leaders, that somehow they'd lost it and didn't see this new thing that God wanted to do in and through his son, Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge us this morning. Are we teachable? Are we still open to what God wants to say to you and to me this morning in our lives? Not just here on a Sunday, but that Monday morning, that Sunday afternoon, that Wednesday, that job, that situation. God wants to open us up and make us teachable once again. And then finally, the disciples. They too got caught out. Jesus, at the start of the ministry, is holding his disciples back. Do you remember many times he would say, "Don't go around telling people everything that's going on. I don't want you to tell. Just, you know, just you keep it to yourselves for the time being." But then eventually he started to tell them about what was going to happen, how he must suffer many things that the religious leaders, because his hour had come. Because, in fact, the religious people thought they were in control, yet, in fact, Jesus was in control. He knew what was going to happen in these next chapters ahead. And Jesus said often that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. You remember Jesus telling the disciples many times about how he must suffer and die, and yet somehow it didn't register with them. And Peter, as you know, openly said, "Not like this, Lord. Not like this, Lord. Lord, you're not going to go through this punishment and this difficult. Not going to happen to you. I'm not going to allow it." And again, Peter was blind to the bigger picture. Peter couldn't see it. I don't know about you, but I really do believe that in this church there's a real desire for us to grow spiritually. I want to really grow spiritually. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to grow. But what I do want, though, is I want the drive-through maturity thing. You know, when you go to a drive-through McDonald's or Costa, and there's that embarrassing microphone, and they say, "Speak up," and you lean out and you shout, you know, you want your cappuccino or whatever. Well, when I'm driving through with God, I want to say to him, really quite simply, I want to say to him this: I want to be your disciple, but I'd like just a little bit of love, God, and some peace. But could you just hold back on the difficulties and the problems of life, because I don't want them, but I do want all the other stuff. And we know, don't we? We know that life is not like that. And so, this morning, we can see that the crowd, they didn't get it. They got caught out. That they... religious people were the same, and the disciples too. But I do want to point out one thing: the disciples did get it right. in some ways. The disciples, on that first Palm Sunday, they simply obeyed Jesus, didn't they? They got it right. Amazing. So, you know, no questions. You don't see him turning around saying, I'm not really keen on getting this colt or this foal. They didn't, you know, and you know, somebody thinks I'm going to nick this, you know, donkey. There were no questions. They went and did what they were told to do, got the donkey, and all was well. And some, and unfortunately, in this story, and really throughout the Bible, nobody goes jumping up and down saying, well done, the disciples, they got it right. They got the colt and everything was okay. And I suppose what I want to say to us this morning, what I felt God say to me was, you know, sometimes God just wants you and me to simply obey him. In the simple things of life. Sometimes God just wants me to be a better husband. Sometimes God just wants me to be a better dad. Sometimes God wants me to just simply obey him. To serve my neighbour. To turn up at work on time. To pray for those that are sick. To live a Christian life. The disciples simply got it right. And if there's anything we can learn from this, and we don't miss out, is this fact. We just need to sometimes just simply obey what he's saying. All these three groups saw Jesus enter Jerusalem that day. The crowds, the Pharisees, religious people, the disciples. But what happens when Jesus enters? And we're going to just go through this. And the first thing that happens, Jesus enters, he creates a beautiful disruption. It creates a beautiful disruption. You know, like I was saying, how sometimes we get caught out by life, and yet in that disruption, in that different way that things happen, God does something really amazing. Right at the very beginning, Jesus called out to those first disciples, Peter, Andrew, and the others, and he said, come and follow me, and I'll show you how to be make you fishers of men. And they left their nets and followed him. Because Jesus knew that for those early disciples, they weren't just content with just having, you know, being fishers of men. That they wanted more from life. And Jesus knows that we also too want more from life. Because these disciples, you knew how to fish. And you know how to do it backwards and sideways. They knew how to do it. But Jesus takes Peter, Andrew, and the others, and he takes them out of their rut. And again this morning, I don't know about you, but I felt challenged as I was thinking about this. That when Jesus enters our lives, he wants to take us out of the rut that we're in. Going down the same road day after day, he wants to take us out of that. And there's an invite that we need to hear from God, that he wants to invite us. Lord, come and shake us up. Come and shake up our lives. Do a new thing in me, in our church. Jesus entered Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. The whole world would change because he made that decision. The whole world would change because he made that decision. He chose to face Jerusalem, and he knew that the cross was waiting at the other end. When Jesus enters, he wants to disrupt our lives and to do a new thing among us. And that can be challenging and a bit frightening at times, but yet God's plans and purposes are perfect. So secondly, what happens when Jesus enters that situation, enters Jerusalem? Jesus brings a new perspective. Our backgrounds, our childhood memories, often are a framework for who we are. Glass half empty, half full. The disciples don't really understand what is going on this first Palm Sunday. Only after Jesus had been glorified did they realize that all these things that had been written must take place. And then they almost said these words, oh, I just see it now. Jesus wants to be glorified in your life and in my life. He wants to be made bigger. Jesus wants to be able to heal the pain and the hurts of the past and give us a new perspective on life. And perspective should be should develop over time as we grow in our relationship with Jesus. That perspective should change. Perspective should be framed by faith in God, not feelings. Feelings are going to let you down. But I really do want to encourage you. Have faith in God. Believe in God. You know, and sometimes it's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice that we need to make. Am I going to believe God? Or am I just going to rely on my feelings and somehow get through? And we need to make a choice, even this morning, to believe God. It's so, so important we make that choice to believe in Him. And it's in that choosing to believe Him we will see amazing things and our perspective change. I want to encourage you, make that choice this morning to believe. What happens, thirdly, when Jesus enters Jerusalem, enters our lives? Jesus offers a Hosanna moment. That sense of, Lord, save us. Relief from the crushing pain. If you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. The question is, what was crushing Jesus? And we know, don't we, that it was my sin, your sin, that was crushing him. You know, the sin of this whole world, this tragedy that we see unfold in Ukraine, that's what crushed Jesus. The things that are happening in Bradford, those are the things that are crushing him. My sin, your sin, crushed Jesus. He took it for me and he took it for you. For a time, Jesus would be separated from his Father. And one of the things that we prayed for just before we started our service this morning was this idea to get a hold again, to get an idea, a picture of really what it cost Jesus. And how we very quickly skip over Palm Sunday and Holy Week, and we skip over very quickly Good Friday. And yet Jesus suffered and died that we could be forgiven. And we need to pause and ponder that. Jesus offers us room to breathe. An invitation this morning. A Hosanna moment. Lord, save us. In Matthew 11, it says these amazing words. And Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I could spend the next 3 hours going through that, but I want to say to you, when I was studying this and praying about this, those words, come to me, really struck home. And I really felt the Holy Spirit saying again this morning, he wants to invite you and me to come to him. Come to him this morning. I don't know where you're at, I don't know what's going on, but come to him. If you're weary, if you're weighed down, come to him. And that's the first point. And then God will help you. He'll be there for you. He'll, you know, give you this Hosanna moment. Take from you the crushing pain of your life. When we accept his invitation to come to him, he will give us rest. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he went on a little further and he bowed down with his face to the ground, praying, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." This morning, God wants us to come to him, and my prayer is that you will do that. And the final slide that will come up now says here, the key is to follow daily. When my kids, grandkids come round, we like to play with Play-Doh. And what they do is they get it like this and they play with it, and then I say, "Give me a bit." And they go, "Hey, our granddad." And then they go off with this, which you can see is multicoloured now, and they make the amazing things, probably table, chairs, cups and saucers, teapots and everything. And then they look at mine and say, "Well, why haven't you done much with that, Grandad?" Well, I said, "He haven't given me anything." And it's true, isn't it? You can't do much with that, but there's so much more you can do with that. And you know, God wants us not just to give a little bit of our life to him. He wants us to give it all, so that he can take it. Your work, your relationships, your relaxation time, every part of your life he wants to do it, because he wants to be intimately involved in all of your life. But sometimes we just give him a little bit, don't we, and say, "Well, work with that, God, you know, see what you can do with that." And we keep lots for ourselves. So this morning, then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross and daily follow me." And I don't want to end this talk with a negative thinking, "Oh right, well, we've all got to go away and lay down our lives and isn't it awful and da 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 da." Well, in some ways it is, I'm afraid. But in another way, it's daily, isn't it? Where are you right now? Where am I right now? God wants to take us just as we are and lead us on. And again, we're back to making that choice. "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." Take up your cross daily and follow me. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Amen.